Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day you're listening, and welcome back to Talking Art, brought to you by Quad City Bank and Trust. My name is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and I'm thrilled today to be talking to an artist that I think a lot of the Quad Cities knows because you see his sculptures all around town, metal sculpture artist John Vandewalle. John? Welcome to Talking Art.
Pleased to meet you, or pleased to be here. Met you many years ago, but
yeah,
very happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to have you and actually get to sit down and talk to you because I've known your artwork for years, and you've been a long time participant in the Riversance Festival of Fine Art, which is coming up September 10th through 11th.
Yes.
September 19th and 20th at Lindsay Park in the Village of East Davenport. And you've always got your work there, and it also is at Skeleton Key downtown Rock Island.
Yep.
And I'm a Broadway resident in Rock Island, and it's so fun. When I moved here, we would drive around, and I saw these metal sculptures in people's yards, and I was like, I asked my wife Liz, I was like, oh, what are these sculptures? And she was like, oh, it's John Vandewalle. He does this, and told me all about you, and then we got a little one and put it in our yard.
Yep.
And so you're very much entrenched in the community with your artwork. So
try to be.
Yeah.
Try to be. There's a few out there.
Yeah.
So
how did you get started? Tell me your story.
Actually, I got started here at Augustana. The very first piece that I built was in November of 99. And his name is Bob, and I still have Bob.
Yeah.
And people have tried purchasing Bob over the last, 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
27 years, wow. And Bob is not for sale. So Bob's the first child. So, and it just pretty much took off from there. It took a while for me to find my medium.
Yeah.
Like a lot of young artists at the time, trying to figure out, am I a two-dimensional guy? Mm-hmm. Am I a sculptural guy? Do I want to get into ceramics? And
yeah.
Back then, it was open. Just trying to experiment. Found out I was not a two-dimensional guy.
Sure.
By any stretch of the imagination. There were guys out there, fantastic artists that I just couldn't hold a candle to.
Yeah.
When it came to, especially to realism, and I love abstract art also.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have the technique, and it just didn't
sure.
go well. I loved it, but I couldn't draw a circle worth a damn.
Right.
And so that kind of got me into metal sculpture, but also I tried other mediums. For example, ceramics. Megan Quinn, who is a instructor
yeah.
here, absolute the best, can save just about any pot on a wheel
yeah.
that a student can destroy. She can save them. She was fantastic. Loved her as an instructor. As much as I love ceramics and throwing, I didn't like the idea of making and maintaining glazes.
Sure.
That struck me as being a very high maintenance aspect of that particular medium.
Yeah.
And you had to be good at the glazes. I mean,
right.
she really was. She was also good at glazes and maintaining them and everything. So that kind of kicked that one out of me, or kicked that one off the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took a class with Mark Fowler in November of 99. And as soon as I went to a scrapyard and was able to and had permission to pick whatever junk we wanted.
Right.
Man, it was on. It was great. And then I quickly found out after those classes that the circle that I couldn't draw in two-dimensional art, I could use pipe balances, which mm-hmm. are perfect circles every time.
Right.
And I can cut those off and weld them onto a piece and make my own construction.
Yeah.
And at that point. And so that made me pretty happy. I had the clean lines that I wanted, depending upon what scrap that I found.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my medium. I mean, I learned to weld at Augie.
Yeah.
And Mark Fowler, I mean, he was absolutely the most courageous artist that I think I've ever met. The guy had guts when it came to art. He just, he could tackle anything and make it work. I mean, he would mix mediums, and it was just absolutely amazing to see the projects that he could come up with.
Yeah.
And, cause he could do glass. He instructed us on bronze casting, aluminum casting. We did the metal sculpture, of course.
Wow. Yeah.
He was great. He was fearless. Really enjoyed his classes.
Yeah. It's so impressive to me when I meet or hear about people who have such facility over so many different mediums and dimensions. And I remember kind of early in my theater career meeting a guy who he played piano for a lot of the shows we did, and he was also an actor, but he could basically pick up any instrument and play it.
It's amazing.
You know, and it was just incredible. And he said the one thing, he's like, I can't figure out a kazoo. And I was like,
really?
That is the simplest thing. He's like, yep, there's something about it that...
I'll be darned.
You know, and I'm sure he was trying to make it too complex or something.
Yeah.
But people who just have that innate ability,
yep,
whether in manipulating a specific medium or a musical instrument, is just so impressive.
That was Mark Fowler.
Yeah.
I mean, he tackled anything. Even things that I found terribly complex, molding and doing the cast construction. God, I hated doing the molds. They're so tedious. You have to. There's so much that goes into them, and I don't. I only did the one class with molding, and I realized that was not for me either. That was a miserable experience.
Yeah.
Just realizing the channels and the way the molten metal has to flow. And there's a lot of thinking that goes into it. It's really cool. And Mark had it down. And you could see with his work, which Mark did glass, did a lot of glass in the area. And that was another class that I tried, was glass blowing and glass casting. And that was another medium that was marked off the list, not for me.
Sure.
as much as I liked, throwing ceramic vessels, and the gamble of, okay, hopefully it's not going to explode in the kiln.
Right.
Because there's always that.
Yeah.
That frustrated me. That really bothered me when things would explode in the kiln. And it wasn't my pieces. I usually got exploded by another piece or something.
Sure.
And you couldn't always catch those with those students.
Mm-hmm.
So, but glass is a medium that, and I'm going to talk out of school here because I don't know everything about glass.
Yeah.
But the cooling period for glass is very, very important.
Right.
I'm not a patient person. When the kiln's done, I want to see my piece. Well, you have to wait sometimes several days for the kiln to cool gradually and get to temperature.
Right.
And otherwise, there's a really good chance the glass is going to crack and shatter.
Yeah.
And whatever the piece is. And, okay, you put a lot of time and material into a piece, and just to have it, you know, gamble that it's going to make it, just to get it out of the kiln, that I didn't like that aspect of it.
Sure.
Much less, it could still break in a couple weeks. There would be times, he told me stories about, oh yeah, I made this great piece, and 2 weeks later, it cracked. It's like, oh God, just sitting on the shelf. It's like, wow. So steel works good for me.
Sure.
It's immediate gratification. When you're working with recycled material, which 100% of my pieces are recycled, or reclaimed, or whatever the new green term is.
Sure.
It's all reused material.
Yeah.
Everything has, if it didn't make it to the scrap bin of the factory or wherever that I got it from, it made it all the way to the scrap yard, and you know, it's 100% reclaimed material.
Tell us a little more about your pieces for those that haven't seen them around.
My pieces are, like I said, scrap metal art.
Yeah.
And all been reclaimed. I try to start out with as clean a steel as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I mean less rust. Hasn't sat in the scrapyard too long.
Sure.
So that way you can get a good weld on things.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I'm an artist first and a welder second.
Yeah.
And in this area of the Midwest, you definitely, I throw that out there because I have plenty of people that put me to task on my welds. And there's guys here that I respect in the manufacturing industries that are around here that, okay, yeah, they are welders. I'm an artist.
Sure.
There's a difference. There's our structural, and they meet code, or not code, but they meet standards and all that. I can weld pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'm an artist first. So it's form over function.
Right.
And like I said, boy, I've had guys call me out. Oh, that's an ugly weld. Well, it stuck. And you're not buying just the weld. You're buying the whole piece.
Right.
So,
and hopefully no one's climbing on it. It doesn't need to support more than its own weight.
Yeah. And it's more or less. More or less. I work with reclaimed materials, whatever I can get, whenever I can get.
Yeah.
I do focus mostly on lawn and garden sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I've got about a dozen or so different styles that I make different variations of, different sizes of, depending upon what I have to work with.
Yeah.
And then I do the original work. And that's really fun. When you can do the original pieces and just freeform it, you just never know how they're going to turn out. And I don't ever draw anything out. I've only drawn one piece out, and that was a piece that is in front of the Quad City Botanical Center.
Oh, right, yeah.
I drew that piece out 20 years ago or something like that, and that's the only one that I put down on paper. Otherwise, it's free form. The piece presents itself.
Yeah.
You'll start out with a piece of scrap and, all right, how can I make this work? Does it make a good lattice? Does it make a good archway?
Right.
Does it make a good piece in the round? Or does it have a front and a back? And then you just sort of start applying the pieces from there and let the piece really present itself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's, like I said, to me and in my experience in my life, like they're just very iconic because I see them all over where, you know, we're in similar neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And so I love the way that they present, like when you're driving around and like you just see one. And you know, you said you start with clean steel, but over time they all start to bring on elements of rust, and so it's an ever-changing piece, which I think is so cool.
It is ever-changing also with the seasons. My favorite time of the year when it comes to the sculptures is the first snow, just because the snow brings on a better body and depth to the sculptures.
Right.
And they present really different then.
Yeah.
As you were saying, driving around and seeing the sculptures, I love the fact that people see them. However, I was raised loved doing landscapes and always worked on landscapes for himself and other people.
Yeah.
And you know, I try making sculptures that are a part of the landscape. Mm-hmm. If you have an ornamental tree that will outgrow the area, the sculpture's not going to outgrow the area. You don't have to pick up the leaves on it.
Right.
You know, it's part of the landscape and it's nestled in. And that's how the majority of my pieces present.
Yes.
And as opposed to being a focal point, which they can be. Mm-hmm. They can be. So, and it's flattering when they are.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I love that idea. I hadn't thought of them in that way, but they really are part of those lawns and gardens that you see them in.
Yep.
They just kind of become a very integral part to that picture, and I love them. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're going to be at Riversance,
yes,
September 19th and 20th at Lindsay Park in the Village of East Davenport, and you are a longtime Riversance artist.
I think this is my 13th or 14th year.
Yeah. Tell us about your involvement with that and how you first...
I first got involved... Well, I should say my first interest in Riversance goes back to, oh God, pre-college. I mean,
yeah,
it was such a great organization, and I'm gonna forget the organization that...
Midcoast
was... I don't know if they were the ones that started it, or I think there was a group before that started it.
Yes, I know a little bit of that history. Mm-hmm. I know there was a small group of artists who, I don't want to say dissatisfied necessarily, but, you know, were looking to create an art fair experience.
Yes.
That was what they wanted.
Yes.
And so I think Jim Kronk was in that, or in those early years.
I want to say Schroeder's, but I'm not for certain.
Maybe, but yeah, they kind of started it up, and then mm-hmm. it eventually kind of moved into the Midcoast,
yep,
the Midcoast family of festivals.
And it was fantastic. When I was a kid, that was the best art. I mean, that was great. That was fantastic artists that came in.
Yeah.
And still is. And I mean, I tell you what, I met Joe mm-hmm. Years ago as a young person, and I found out that she was part of Riversance.
Yeah.
And when I finally had the courage enough to ask, and I felt like, okay, maybe I actually got a shot of getting accepted.
Yeah.
I finally applied, and it's very flattering.
Yeah.
It's really a heck of a group to be part of.
Yeah.
Because there's the artists that show, and they show, I mean, the 6 hours away sometimes, you know.
Sometimes more. We had a guy last year, I think, from Colorado, and we've had folks from all over the country.
Yep.
And for those that don't know, Riversance is the Riversance Festival of Fine Art, and it is a juried show.
Yes.
Which I think is very different from most of the other, like, arts and craft shows in town. Like, it is...
Yes.
It is a juried show. You have to present pieces and be accepted, and, you know, we really do focus with this on, like, it is art. It is not crafts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
And that's not taking away from the craft people.
No, not at all.
My mother was a craft person, and she was a very good artist in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
But she took the craft aspect of it and did that. And so I grew up going to these different craft fairs.
Yeah.
And seeing that aspect of things. But we would always go to Riversance and see what fine art is out there.
Yeah.
And it was always amazing. I mean, and to see the different mediums. And mm-hmm. even still, you guys, even still now.
That blows me away.
It really does. Fabrics, metalwork, such as myself, the two-dimensional art's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, every aspect and every medium that is represented at Riversance is an absolute standout. And I'll be honest, there's, with my stuff, and it is scrap metal.
Yeah.
It's humbling to be around that art and have my stuff be accepted there and do well. So yeah. It's very flattering.
Yeah, well, we love having you there. And kind of going back to a point that you said, like, it speaks so much to, like, yes, there is talent from outside the region, but to the talent in the region.
Oh, a huge amount.
If you've never been to Riversons, like, it's such a lovely location. It is, you know, I'm there working all weekend.
Yes.
But it's a great place to work for the weekend. Lindsay Park is gorgeous. Yep. You have the views of the river. You know, there's all the food trucks and live music and all the amenities of a festival.
Oh, yeah.
But you're surrounded by amazing artwork.
Yep.
And, you know, you can just walk up and down those rows and see so many surprising things. That's what I love, is you'll go from one tent to the next, and you'll see someone who's doing these incredible prints with animals and, like, different layers of printmaking, and then a jeweler who's doing this incredible work, and then coming around to that back corner and seeing your setup of large-scale, you know, ornamental lawn and garden sculptures, and it's awesome.
You never know going around the bend at Riversons what's going to pop and what's going to catch your eye.
Yeah.
And it's, people try going from booth to booth to booth, but every so often there's something there that you're like, all right, I'm skipping these five.
And
I need to go see what that is. I'll come back to the others, but wow. And I've fallen victim to that. It's like, it's like being a kid in a candy shop. You just, wow, check this out. And there's stuff that I wouldn't have thought necessarily would have caught my eye, but the spin that people throw on things is really interesting. It's a great show.
Yeah. And we have tons of Riversons art in our house, but one of the things that's cool for me about, you know, having, this will be my fifth year with the festival.
Wow.
And, you know, seeing artists who come back year after year and being able to be like, oh, I love their work. Maybe this year isn't the year to buy, but I'm going to come back next year and catch them, or take their card and order something later.
Yes. Well, and for a lot of people, it's Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic Christmas shopping.
Yes.
It wasn't last year, it was the year before. There was actually a knife crafts person there that that did knives from, they were handmade.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they were beautiful. They were works of art in their own.
I remember that. Yeah.
And fantastic. The wood turners there are great. But Christmas shopping, and I always forget, well, because I'm there trying to show my stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll always have to call up my sister or my wife or somebody and, hey, check this out. Would this be a good gift for so-and-so?
Yeah.
Or anything along those lines. And call up mom, hey, did you get a gift for my niece or nephew? And this would be a good gift.
Yeah.
And the gift-giving ideas, you could spend your Christmas budget there. That's not a problem. So.
Well, and the thing that I love is, like, you know, we talked earlier about it being fine art, and there are some pieces that are, you know, at the higher end of the price scale, but there's also a lot of artists that have those very accessible pieces as far as, like, you know, I may have my, you know, my $800 painting, but I've also got these $15 smaller frames or canvases that I've done.
Exactly.
You know, so there are pieces of handmade original art that is accessible.
Yes.
Which I love.
The price range is, that's what makes it accessible. That's what makes it accessible to people, I think.
Yeah.
And you can walk out of there with something and love it.
Yeah.
And it's great. And the jewelry people.
Yes.
It's amazing. Jewelry is just an amazing medium anyway to me. But some of the jewelers that we get in there are fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just the detail and the fine work for me. I can't even...
imagine.
I couldn't do it.
No.
And that's why I work with the big heavy metal sculptures. Because there again, it's a medium I can't, it's a medium that just, I can't get on board. It's a difficult medium. And
yeah.
Hats off to those artists. They're great. So.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask because your family is very artistic. Mm-hmm. You know, your son has won awards at Chalk Art Fest and yes. the High School Art Invitational and
Skeleton Key.
I mix yep. those two up all the time.
We're just down the street from Skeleton Manor,
Skeleton Key, and yep. it's like, yeah, who knows what'll come up. Skeleton Key
yes.
Is an antique shop and has also artwork in there and, yes. and all sorts of things. Is that something that you inherited from your family or?
Wow. Honestly, that was, that's my wife, Brandy's business.
Yeah.
And that is something that many years of going back and forth, on road trips to and from to see her family, we would talk about a business that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both have art degrees from Augustana.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something that fell into both of our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And she does a great job of running it.
Mm-hmm.
She promotes the heck out of it and does fantastic. Happy to say, and I can honestly say that Skeleton Key is a destination now.
Yeah.
I mean, we get people that from far away that look us up, and it's not just things to do in the Quad Cities. It's looking for art and antiques, and Skeleton Key hops up.
Yeah.
So, and then they come to the Quad Cities, and it's great. It's
yeah.
it's so nice to hear when we hear, they're from Nebraska. They're from Minnesota, they're from Des Moines or Chicago.
Yeah.
Larger metros, and they're coming to see us. And it's
That's
very
awesome.
Very flattering. And it
yeah.
shows that her work is really it shows. The attention she puts into promoting and keeping the place up and working with vendors and having original art and or antiques and items, vintage items that come through to keep the place fresh. And she does a really good job.
Yeah.
And Alex, as you said, he's, oh gosh, two-dimensionally, which I
insanely talented, insane.
He does a good job with the two-dimensional art.
Yeah.
He's got a good eye. He's got a different way of looking at things, and he can pick out color in a realistic piece. And when he, I don't know, it's hard to describe honestly what he exactly does.
Yeah.
But when he does a portrait, he will use these colors and I'll really, you're using blue in a blonde person's hair.
Right.
Oh boy, it works.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it and how he sees things, but he's got a fantastic eye.
Yeah, his portraiture work is incredible. Like, I still remember that piece because he got the first prize at the High School Art Invitational mm-hmm. a couple years ago, and it was a
yep.
portrait that kind of had some sort of veil or shading over the face
yes.
and was kind of very ethereal.
Yes.
But so realistic, and it's just, he's an extremely talented young man.
He is. And actually, there's a little bit of a story behind that particular piece.
Yeah.
I had overheard a couple of high school instructors talking about it.
Yeah.
And one had commented to the other, like, oh, that got first. And they were very praiseworthy.
Yeah.
And then one's like, that's really weird that a photograph got first. And he's like, that's not a photograph. That's two-dimensional
yeah.
colored pencils.
It was colored pencils, right?
Yeah, it was colored pencils. And he just hadn't looked that closely at it.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of fun to hear. Yeah, he thought it was a photograph.
Yeah. Well, and I remember when that show got hung, walking by it and just, you know, I was just doing a quick tour around the gallery and it was like, oh, there's a, you know, a nice face photo.
Yeah.
And then when I looked closer and was like, oh, no, this is colored pencil?
Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to two-dimensional, he'll work with some different things. He's done a little bit with charcoal, a little bit with mostly colored pencil. But he's actually done some pieces in crayon.
Yeah.
That are really, that's crayon. And yeah. It's just, it's fun. He's really good.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing what he's going to get into.
Yeah.
So, and my daughter, she doesn't do anything, she says, artistically. I think if she were to give it a shot, I think she'd really like it. And
sure.
She would find it if she worked her tools.
Yeah.
And, but Alex, he got that from Brandy. Brandy is okay. A fantastic artist.
Got it.
She hasn't produced in quite a while,
mm-hmm.
but when she was a student at Augie, she did some great work.
Yeah.
And it was, I always enjoy when she does decide to draw.
Yeah.
She does great. And so Alex, it's funny to hear when people compliment Alex, oh, well, he got it from you. No, he did not. I can't draw an egg. He got that from Brandy, and definitely. So, I mean, he comes by it honestly. And she's, like I said, Brandy does really good at portraiture also.
Yeah.
Just non-practicing at this time.
Sure. We go through phases in life.
She's got her hands full there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you guys add so much to the artistic life of the Quad Cities, so thank you for that.
No, thank you.
We're so excited to have you at Riversance this year. Once again, a little plug for Riversance, September 19th and 20th at Lindsay Park in the Village of East Davenport. On Saturday, it'll be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is a $5 admission at the gate, or you can get a weekend pass for $8, and you can just come to the gate. There's food, there's beer, there's wine, there's cocktails, there's live music, and most importantly, amazing art, including John Vandewalle. So come on down, check us out, buy some art. John, if the audience wants to know more, do you have a website or social media that they can look up?
You can Google my name and art, and plenty of images and will pop up. Otherwise, there is a Facebook page.
Great.
Let's see. Otherwise, Skeleton Key Art and Antiques.
Great.
And I've always got my stuff there.
So. Yes. And you guys also do art markets there.
That we
quarterly
do.
Or so?
From June through October. It's the second Sunday of each month.
Oh, great.
So the next one is going to be September 13th, which happens to be Alex's birthday. And that'll be next Sunday. That'll be our next artist market. Always a good time. We have good food there, some live music, and it's, you never know what the artists there are going to bring, and that's,
yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun to see a lot of those artists are starting out and getting a feel for their medium.
Sure.
And this is sort of a stepping stone for them to see what they like and where their interests are and see where buyers' interests are.
Right.
And experiment with the process of trying to be a producing artist.
Yeah.
And that's something that Brandy's offered up with the market that, you know, it's helped a lot of artists find themselves. So...
That's
it's
great.
And hopefully some of them will be at Riversance also. So
even better.
It is. So I'm looking forward to Riversance this year. I'm not sure exactly. I've got 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks left?
Yeah.
I've got 2 weeks to produce, and we'll see what gets built in those 2 weeks. It'll be interesting.
Well, I can't wait to see it. We love your work, and thank you again. For more on Riversance, you can check out QuadCityArts.com or just Google John Vandewalle and art and check out his Facebook page and everything else. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks once again to Quad City Bank and Trust, our sponsors, and to my amazing producer, the man on the mix, Mr. Joshua Graves. Thanks so much. I'm Ben Goujon, and this was Talking Art.